My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Thank y'all for that Bible. Genesis chapter 27, verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting, and he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." Last scripture, verse 35. And he said, "Thy brother came with craft and taken away thy blessing." I want to preach to you on this subject this evening: forbidden hunger. Forbidden hunger. Why don't you lay your Bibles down? Everyone close your eyes and lift up your hands, and let's ask the Lord to do exactly what he wants to do in this building. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful church. I thank you for the wonderful people that you have gathered here. I thank you that every peace fits like a puzzle, God. I thank you for the leadership of this assembly. God, I ask that there would be oil, that there would be a blessing that would flow from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Lord, break through something in the Holy Ghost, Lord. I trust not in my ability. I trust not in my intellect. I trust not in myself, God. In my flesh there dwells no good thing. But Lord, I submit under the authority of this church. I submit under the authority of your spirit, and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you clap your hands to the Lord? Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Somebody shout yes. I will not hide it from you tonight, but I am hungry for God like I've never been. I am hungry to see a part of God that I have never seen before. I am not content with dead church. I'm not content with normal, routine, ritualistic church. I am hungry for God like I've never been hungry before. I'm not content with barely surviving in my walk with God. I want more of Jesus Christ. I want those riches that are in his presence. I am hungry for a move of God. I'm hungry for a fresh touch. I'm hungry for fresh oil. I'm hungry for a new song. I'm hungry for renewed praise. I'm hungry for renewed vision. I'm hungry for renewed worship. I am hungry for God like I've never been before. And that lets me know the Bible says that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And if that's not enough, the Bible says, and his greatness is unsearchable. That lets me know that word unsearchable means that God's greatness cannot be fully examined. It cannot be fully exhausted. No matter how long you've been living for God, you have never seen the end of God. Abraham, the father of the faithful, he never saw the end of God. David, who slew that great giant Goliath, he never saw the end of God. The apostle Paul, who was caught up to the third heaven, he never seen the end of God. There is a place in God that no one has ever gone. And I am hungry tonight to discover those riches and discover those aspects of his presence that has never been revealed. I said, you've not seen it all, no matter how young or old you are. You've not seen it all. There are still things in God's presence that have yet to be released, but he's been waiting on the right hour to release it. And I say that we're in the last days, and God is ready to reveal some things to us that he's never revealed before. I know, I hear you talking back to me. I hear your spirit at some of y'all favorite scripture. There's nothing new under the sun. That's y'all motto. Some of y'all motto. You got it hung up on at your house. Walk in, that's the first scripture you see. Nothing new under the sun. It's the favorite scripture of the comfortable. There's nothing new under the sun. I remind you that that scripture was written before the virgin birth. And the virgin birth had never happened before and can never happen again. Boy, I'm in trouble. Nothing new under the sun, yet the virgin birth happens. And the angel tells Mary, and Mary says, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. There's nothing new under the sun until the Spirit gets involved. And when the Spirit gets involved, it has the ability to produce events that nobody has ever witnessed before. I said you can get so deep in the spirit that God will entrust something to you that he's never entrusted another church with. He will entrust something to you that he hasn't entrusted anybody else with. Mary was entrusted with something not once in a lifetime, something once in time. Something that can never be replicated. Something that can never be mimicked. Come on. She reached a place in God where no one could follow. God, my Lord, stop praying for a once in a lifetime revival and ask God to do something that can never be done again. It can never. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where God entrusts you with something that no one can come behind you, where it's never been done before. It can never happen again. Can I tell you? Mary could not look to the Jewish customs of the past to see what God was trying to do in her. She could not relate to anybody in the future. There was no blueprint to follow. She just had to get in the spirit and hear the whisper of God in her ear to direct her every step. What am I saying? There's no blueprint for you to follow where God is taking this church. You just got to get in the spirit and allow God to do something that has never been done before. I know that's not comfortable. I know you like measuring everything. I know you like to know how far, and you like to measure how far you're going. Come on, but that's not living by faith. The just shall live by faith. You got to learn how to walk with God and hear him whisper. It may be something that no one's ever. I know you like saying, but no one did it like that. Well, that's your problem. You got to stop looking at that and saying that's how we always did it. You got to learn to get in the spirit and allow God to begin to speak something into you that no one will be able to understand. The first thing that happened to Mary when she got something from God and got impregnated with something from God, the first thing people around her said, they questioned whether it was illegitimate.
When God gives you something that's never been done before, the first thing people around you are going to say, I think that's illegitimate. Something's wrong out there in Pensacola. That's too much revival. Something's not right. They're praying through too much. There's too much excitement. There's too many souls coming in. Something's off here, and they can't figure it out, and they won't be able to figure it out until they get in the spirit and hear what God is speaking to this church. Come on, somebody. You're not meant to be normal. You're not meant to be routine. You're not meant to be average. Boy. When's the last time you asked God to do something that you've never witnessed him do with anybody else? You know, I know I'm preaching the right thing tonight. Because I see some confused looks out there. People looking at me like, when's the last time you asked God for something that you couldn't earn? Boy, I gotta stay there. When you ask something for God, you automatically get your little prayer program together. God, I'm gonna pray and fast this much, and God, you have to do it. But you know, 1 Corinthians 2 says that he gave you the Holy Ghost that you might know the things that are freely given to you. In other words, there's things you can't even pray for. You see, I'm in Western culture right now. I know when I'm in a blue-collar place. I know you work for everything. You're hard workers. You work hard. You work overtime. I know. But all I'm saying is while you're working, every now and again, look up. Because God might just baptize you with something that you wasn't. Come on, somebody. I'm just telling this church, with all your hard work and labor, look up every now and again and see what God wants to bestow. My word. I stepped in the thick of it. Hallelujah. There's no shore behind me. I just stepped off in the deep waters. I don't even see a shore inside there. Hallelujah. I'm just gonna paddle a little bit and just see what happens. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, when's the last time you ever heard somebody say a prayer and say, sun, stand still, and moon, you stand still too? Where do you get that? What type of, is that a ritualistic prayer? Is that, come on, somebody, is that going pray your little program? No, he needed a victory, so it means that he had to ask for something that had never been done before. He said, sun, stand still. Moon, you stand still too. Don't you understand that they prolong the day? And if you don't, you understand that if the system of the earth is disrupted even for a second, everybody would die. Don't you understand that every insect and every animal would die if that is that type of halt? But God preserved the insects. He preserved the caterpillar. He preserved the worm. He preserved the fishes of the sea. He preserved everything to honor somebody that wanted him to do something that had never been done before. Can you clap your hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to do something in you that he's never done before. He wants to work in you in a way that he never has before. How are you going to tell me that the latter house is going to be greater than the former house if you don't even believe in something you've never seen? Stop quoting that scripture. If you say the latter house is going to be greater than the former house, it's going to look different when it comes. Can you handle when there's corn and not manna? See, let me stay there a while. Can you handle when the manna ceases? I've been living on this manna 40 years. I know. But when you enter into the promised land, when they tasted of the corn of Canaan, the manna ceased. And if the people would have woke up the next day looking for manna, they'd have been functioning in disobedience, because that's where God used to be. That's not where he is now. So you got to get on board and open up your mouth and start eating some corn, because there's glory in this place. Y'all gonna throw me out of here before I'm done. I'm telling you. Huh? Can I tell you something? But that's not the manna way. Where we don't need the manna way right now. Huh? We need the corn way. Come on, somebody. And there's corn all around you. Stop complaining about where's the manna. Come on and open up your mouth and taste and see that the Lord is good. He's as good now as he was 30 years ago. He's as good now as he was 50 years ago. He's as good now as he was 10 years ago. But are you eating now?
So there's some people saying, you say, I'm not going to open up my mouth and eat. I'm waiting on manna. Well, you're going to starve. And it's your own fault you're in that condition, because you won't open up your mouth. People are trying to give you corn across the pulpit every Sunday. We're throwing out corn every Sunday. Look, just throwing it out everywhere. Corn all over this altar. Look at you. Remember when we used to have manna? Yeah, he used to complain about the manna too.
Somebody, it may not be about manna or corn. It may just be about you getting on board with the move of the Holy Ghost. I wish somebody would clap their hands. I wish somebody would lift up your voice and thank God for new level.
You don't remember when you were complaining how the manna tasted? We are creative when we try to find ways to get bitter. If it's not manna, it's corn. You say, I don't like corn. Well, I give you grapes. You don't want grapes either. I give you figs. You don't want figs. Just tell me what you want so I can preach it. What do I have to say to get you to respond? You want conviction? I'll give you conviction. Do you want encouragement? I'll give you that. What do you want me to do that'll finally get you a breakthrough? There comes a point where the preacher's not the problem and God's not the problem. Your problem is you don't want to move with the cloud. Come on. Why don't you get in the cloud and let the cloud do what only he can do?
Y'all, some of y'all are some Houdinis when it comes to the Word of God. Y'all some escape artists. Oh, that's not for me. That's for him. Over there. New convert. Elder. Married. Single. God's looking at you like, every one of those words were for you. Hello? You divinely exempt yourself from every sermon. Preach on salvation, you're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have come today. I know this like the back of my hand. Did you know this, that there's some things you don't know? Oh, I hurt you. I'm sorry. Did you know you don't know everything in the Bible? I'm sorry to disappoint you. I told somebody a few months ago, I said, man, the only time you read your Bible is to try to prove the pastor wrong. Only time they get it off the shelf, got dust on the Bible. Soon as pastor preached something, you go look at, no, where's Genesis again? Well, in the Hebrew, pastor, oh, stop acting like you're a Hebrew scholar. You just went to Google. Some of y'all got a doctorate in Googleology. You just know how to type in. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching to you. You just got to start getting hungry, because when you get hungry, there will be something that comes into your spirit that will change you forever. I'm getting further from that shirt, pastor. I'm that sure. I can't even see it no more. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to help somebody. Why, when the cloud moves, there is immediately some resistance? Come on, Holy Ghost. Every time we say we're going to do this a little different, all of a sudden your spirit bucks up. Different? What's that? See, I'm trying to preach my message, but I'm so in the Holy Ghost right now. You heard this? Look, you got your little text thread. Got your little Facebook group. Did you hear this change? Yeah. You agree with it? No, that's not the man away. Hey, hello? And your human spirit is in contention with where the spirit's heading. The same people that wanted the temple the same way all the time were the same people that killed Jesus. Hello? They got addicted to how they did it the tabernacle way. They couldn't handle what it did the temple way. Then they got addicted to the temple way, but they couldn't handle when God in the flesh came in front of them. And then they couldn't handle when the people became the temple. And every time you can't handle some change from the spirit, there is a killing spirit that gets on you, and a gossiping spirit, and a Cain spirit. Hey, I come to preach that spirit off of you and say, you gotta get in the cloud. We need to get where we're headed, because it's a place that we've never gone before. Somebody needs to clap their hands to the Lord right now, and somebody needs to lift up your voice if you want to follow the cloud. How you gonna handle when God speaks to you that you're getting a promised son, Isaac, and you got that promised son, Isaac, for a number of years, and then a new word comes and tells you to sacrifice it? Do you resist the new word? Or are you more in love with Isaac than you are with his presence? How do you handle when God gives you a new word and say, put him on the altar? And then finally, after praying about it, you wake up and you go put him on the altar. Then you get a new word and says, no, don't put him on the altar. Do you get frustrated and rebellious, or do you have a spirit of obedience? It says, I don't understand it all, but I want to go where the cloud's headed. I want to go where the word is. I don't understand it all. Come on, somebody. I don't understand it all, but I want to move where the spirit's. Hey. Somebody put on a smile out there, honey. Just, come on, somebody smile. Let me see the smiles in there. Oh, let me put my glasses on. Let me see the smiles. Go ahead. Everybody smile for a second. Okay. All right. Okay. a few fake ones, hallelujah.
God told Abraham, he said, look, Abraham, I'm your exceeding great reward. In other words, Isaac's not your reward. Isaac's the promise. And I only gave you a promise as an incentive for you to get on a journey to discover me, your reward. Because I am greater than Isaac. I am greater than your system. I am greater than your promise. I am greater than any miracle. The reward is greater than the promise.
What do you do when Isaac dies? Do you lose your faith? Do you think everybody's in rebellion now when Isaac dies?
Man, we had Isaac. I remember when we used to have Isaac.
You know Isaac was the promise and he died, but now my faith is challenged because I put all my hope in the promise. How do you respond when the promise is taken away? Do you lose your faith? Do you get bitter? Do you start hitting people? Or do you just cleave to the reward?
See, the reward will put your promise on the altar just to see if you get mad about it. Is the reward still sufficient? The reward for serving God is not miracles, is not blessings, is not power. The reward for serving God is you get God.
Oh, and some of you are acting like that's a sad thing.
I said, he's the reward. I said, he's Jehovah Jireh. I said, he's the provider. I said, he's Jehovah Nisi. He's Jehovah Raphna. He's everything that I need him to be. And he's greater than anything.
Welcome. Ah, Lord in heaven. Hello? Job lost everything. Lost his money, lost his family, lost his finances, lost his reputation, and the first thing he did was worship. You know why? Because Job said, I didn't lose everything. I still have God.
And my trust wasn't in my money. My trust wasn't in my kids. My trust wasn't in my finances. But my trust was in him. And if I have him, I have everything. And if I have him.
Those of you desiring to be in ministry, the one thing that God promised the Levites, the ministers of the Old Testament, for you young ministers that are hungry to get in ministry, God says, look, you Levites, you ministers of the Old Testament, he says, look, you're not getting anything in the promised land. He said, all your brothers are going to get possessions, but you're not getting anything. He said, for I, the Lord, am your possession.
The reward for ministry, come on somebody, it's not popularity, it's not money, it's not anything fancy. You just get a hold of God like nobody else gets a hold of him.
Come on. If it becomes about opportunities, well, when that opportunity comes, you're going to get stagnant. But if it becomes about him, no matter what opportunity comes your way, it's that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings. That's what wakes me up in the morning. It's to go after God. It's to cleave to him. Disappointments may come. Opportunities may come. It doesn't matter. I just want to know him. I just want to touch the hem of his garment. I just want to be in him. I live. In him I move. And in him I have my being.
Okay.
We're not. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to shut tie you. Okay, okay, I just got to. Help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. Esau was the firstborn, and the blessing was supposed to come to him. But Jacob, he was hungry for God. And when he's hungry for God, he deceives his dad, dresses up with goat's hair and deceives his dad. And Esau comes in to get blessed, and Isaac said, I've already blessed your brother. He has come in by craft and taken away your blessing. And look what he said, and he shall be blessed. I know that he stole it, but he's still blessed. Because I'd rather entrust someone that is imperfect but hungry than to give it to somebody that's so entitled they feel like God owes them something. Esau didn't pray and didn't pursue God. He just thought just because he was the firstborn, it automatically was coming to him. But Jacob's hunger reached over Esau and grabbed something that wasn't his and pulled it down into his bosom. I said, God will step out of bounds for somebody that's hungry. He will step over his law for somebody that's hungry. The law says the firstborn's supposed to get it. But he's so hungry, he hungered for what was forbidden, so God gave it to him instead. Even Reuben, he was the firstborn of Jacob. He didn't even have his own birthright. The birthright was supposed to come to him. If you read Genesis, it says these are the generations of Jacob. Then it goes right into Joseph's story. Because Reuben messed up by messing with Jacob's wife. Boy, I'm preaching now. And so the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 5:1 that Reuben was the firstborn, but the birthright didn't come to him. It went to Joseph's kids. 1 Chronicles 5:1, that's what it says. That he didn't even get the birthright because of what he did. And God honored Joseph's hunger, where God gave the birthright to Joseph's seed. God, imagine Esau saying, God, you're wrong. I'm the firstborn. And God's like, look, Esau, I cannot be right and I cannot be wrong. I'm God. I created right or wrong for you to dwell among each other so y'all don't kill each other. But I am sovereign. I am bigger than right and I am bigger than wrong. So if I want to bless somebody that doesn't deserve it, I will. I'm opening up the word for you tonight. Two options going to happen. Either we're going to have a breakthrough or I'm going to get stoned. But I'm about to open up the word for you. David said to the priest, I'm hungry. The priest said, well, all we have is the priest's bread. And the law says, if anyone other than a priest eats this bread, their soul shall be cut off from the people. But David said, I'm hungry. God said, well, give the boy something to eat. Because I know my law says he's not supposed to have it, but I cannot ignore somebody that is hungry for me to do something. Come on, somebody. I will not ignore somebody that's hungry. I know his soul is supposed to be cut off, but he's going to become king. And what, you're going to try to accuse God with his own law? He is the law. See, look at it. Look, you see? I think we're leaning towards breakthrough rather than stoning. Samson has a Nazirite vow. He's not supposed to touch anything that's dead. Yet he picks up the jawbone of a donkey and he kills hundreds of Philistines. God gives him victory over hundreds of Philistines. And after he kills them all, Samson had the audacity to look at the jawbone and say, "Lord, I thirst." And God clave a hollow spot in the jawbone he wasn't supposed to touch and gave him water to drink. Because God says, I know he's not right, but I cannot ignore somebody that is hungry and thirsty. Would I ignore someone that hungers for the forbidden? See, revelations seeping in right now. See, God does what he wants. If you just get hungry, God could do it. If you just get hungry. If you think you saw it all and ate it all, you won't get the new wave. You got to make up your mind. Oh, that's humbling to admit, right? To say, I haven't seen it all. Ooh, see, that hurts you right there. Because that's you got that superiority complex. See somebody breaking through an altar, they're like, yeah, I remember I used to do that. Go ahead, young fella. And God's looking at you like, I remember you when you used to be hungry too. Remember when you used to be hungry, when you first got into church, I remember when you used to be hungry and you used to wake up in the midnight hour with one of the scriptures in your head because you just got the revelation. I remember when you used to stay up all night listening and teaching Bible studies. I remember that you're never too old to stop being hungry. If you still got to wake up in the morning, get your bagel, get your bacon, get your eggs, come on. It's the same thing. And when did it become when you hit 50 years old? You just say, hey, I don't have to eat ever again. How old are you? 50. Oh, yeah, you're good. Yes, no. Senior citizen discount. When elders just don't eat no more. 50 years old, I'm done. No, I don't need anything. Oh, wow, yeah. But in the kingdom of God, it's like 50 years old. Yeah, you've seen it all. I just don't eat anymore. I've been in this too long. You're going to starve to death. Come on, somebody. And I can't come in the pulpit and every week we gotta kind of, you know, hit you in the face a little bit and then open your mouth and then hold that there and then get some meat and smash it up, put water in it, make sure, put the spoon up. You won't even take the spoon out of my hand. I gotta put the spoon in. You don't even want to chew. I gotta take your lips and just start chewing it together. Then I gotta hit your throat a little bit and say, swallow. Come on, somebody. I don't want to force feed you here tonight. We just gotta open up our mouths and feast on the word and on its presence, because it's still sweeter than the honeycomb. It was a Canaanite woman. If I'm helping you, can you wave a hand right now if I'm helping you? I'm just trying to get you ready for what's undergirding right now. There's something pulling this church forward. underneath, and it's made a little bit, some of you a little edgy. Nobody talked to me about nothing. I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. A little edgy. They sang a new song up here. It's like, remember the manna song? I know, but you didn't worship with the manna song either. Help me, Lord. This woman from Tyre and Sidon, she's a Canaanite woman. She's a Gentile, and she's disqualified from a miracle because Jesus had come to the Jews first, then he would come to the Gentiles. She's from Tyre and Sidon, which was a place of judgment, a place that God prophesied that he would judge. But her daughter was vexed with the devil. And all of a sudden, she stepped out of that timid nature, and the Bible says she cried after him. And when she cried after him, the Bible says that he answered her not a word. So her crying wasn't enough to get the miracle that she needed. So then she upped it up a level, and the Bible says she came and worshiped him. But when she came and worshiped him, he said, it's not meet for me to give children's bread unto the dogs. So her worship wasn't enough to get the miracle that she needed. So when crying didn't work, and when worship didn't work, she got hungry. He called her a dog, and look what she said. Truth, Lord, I am a dog. But I'm a hungry dog. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And he gave her something from the future in the present. He gave her something that she wasn't supposed to have till the... When she got hungry, God reached into the book of Acts and gave it to her in the gospel, because he will not ignore someone that is hungry. She said, I just want a crumb. He said, I know you're not supposed to have it. This isn't supposed to come till they go to Cornelius' house in Acts 9, Acts 10. But you want it in Matthew. Come on, you want it before your time. So it's forbidden. You're not supposed to have it. But I cannot ignore somebody that's hungry. I will reach into the future. And I will give it to your family now. I come to give you a word in the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all family members were supposed to be backslid for 10 more years. But if you get hungry, God can do He can reach into the future 10 years later and pull it down this week in the present if you can get hungry. You need to throw your hands up and begin to speak in other tongues and begin to go after God with the hunger in this place. Come on, that's it. Press forward. Press forward right now. You just got to get hungry for it. God said, I know it's not supposed to happen for a few more years, but I can give it to you now if you get hungry for it. I can give it to your daughter now. I can take them off the bar stool. I can take them off the drugs and bring them into church this week if you can pursue and get hungry.
Come on, grab the hand of somebody near you. Put your hand on the shoulder of somebody near you. And why don't you go after God? Lord, baptize this church with the spirit of hunger. The backsliders aren't going to come home. It's not going to be months down the road. It's not going to be years down the road. We're pulling something from heaven down right now. We're hungry for this new level. We're hungry to go deeper. We're hungry.
Come on, that's it. That's it. Lift up your voice. Somebody pull it down in the spirit. Somebody pull it down for your brother. Someone pull it down for your sister. Someone pull it down for your son. Someone pull it down for your daughter. We're just hungry for a crumb. We're just hungry for a crumb. We're just hungry for a crumb. Ela mokola basaya.
I want you to hear me for a second. I just want you to hear me. Hear me for a second, then we're going to go back to prayer. I spoke with them this afternoon, and we agreed that this is one of the greatest churches, one of the greatest churches in the world that you're a part of. But greatness can become a stumbling block when you feel like you've arrived. The Lord sent me here to say that this is a great church and you've been operating in the greatness of the Lord, but His desire tonight was to birth to you to step into unsearchable greatness. A greatness that you've never seen before, and it's going to take hunger. Where people are going to walk into this building, and as soon as they step one foot in, God immediately heals them with no one praying for them. A greatness where you have backslidden kids and backslidden people in your family that you haven't been in contact with, then all of a sudden them just show up to church. They live in another state. They live in New York. They live in California. They live in Colorado. They live in North Dakota. They live in Tennessee. But on a Sunday, just going to show up uninvited and pray through in the Holy Ghost, unsearchable. I'm telling you what's coming. I'm telling you what's coming in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what's coming in the Holy Ghost. If you can start getting hungry for it, I've come to send a signal in the Holy Ghost. This church is stepping into a dimension that it's never stepped into before. And you got to get ready for it, because we're going into a place that we've never gone. If we can have a hunger like we've never had, I want you to lift up your hands where you are right now. And there is a hunger being distributed in this building right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Let an insatiable hunger baptize this church where they're never going to be the same again. Come on, I want you to start prophesying. I want you to start speaking some things that you want God to do over the next few months. I want you to begin to speak those things that are not as though they were. I want you to begin to call their names out. I want you to begin to speak it in the Holy Ghost. Tell God what you're hungry to happen.